Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. It is, what's today? March 4th, 2022, Friday. Hope you've all had a great week. Not a lot of apologies have had to be made, hopefully. Life's pretty good. It's kind of, it's tough to continue to do a podcast when life's pretty good. But, like I shared the other day, you know, keeping my side of the street clean, that's sometimes clean of great things just as well as clean of bad things. And the problem is right now my life's pretty great. It's been great. It's been great for a while. And I give all that to this program, or to a program, not this program, a program that I chose to use, whatever program anyone else chooses. It's awesome. There's several out there. Hopefully you can figure out something that works for you. You know, hopefully you can figure out that you have a problem, right? You know, I watched this podcast on Joe Rogan's podcast with this Dakota Myers, who is... he's a great guy, very interesting, military, you know, it's a tough existence, the military. I mean, it's a great existence, great career, but I think sometimes in the end you're kind of left, you know, wondering who am I and what do I do? And, you know, I've seen that with my father. My father was in the military. He was a colonel and, you know, you play a big role and you're very important. And then eventually you retire and you're still trying to figure out, you know, what's the role that we play. And so, you know, love the military, you know, big fan of that. But, you know, it was an interesting podcast, this Dakota Myers. And he talked a lot about being a victim. And we were talking last night, my father and I used that term. And he's like, what does that mean, a victim? And it is a strange... you know, for a person like myself who's kind of gone through life and worked on a program and tried to identify what it is about me that creates all these issues, and, you know, it's very easy to wrap it up in one word, a victim. Because a victim, for me, is a person that all that I did was think about myself. I didn't really realize it as a kid. I'm not sure that it's absolutely completely normal to be self-centered. You know, I was trying to explain to my father, you know, you come out as a baby screaming, you know, blah, you know, crying. I think if you could actually put words together, it'd be more like, you know, give me a blanket, give me some food, you know, take care of me. Obviously, I can't do it on my own, so I need your help. You know, it doesn't come out in words. It comes out in crying and giggles and cooing and all that stuff that babies do, but... it's about them. You know, we start this world off as a self-centered person. It's how we survive. You know, I mean, I've had three kids. I see it all the time. They're self-centered little people. And, you know, over time, you start to see, you know, some changes start to take place. I see it with my kids now. You know, they take a break from themselves. And sometimes we'll show a little bit of empathy or compassion towards somebody else, meaning me or my wife. And, you know, my son came in the other day. He's like, you know, he dabbed me up, you know. That means he gave me a handshake, and then we pull together and kind of bump shoulders. And, you know, it's like what football players do and stuff. It's dabbing up. And he dabbed me up, and I said, oh, my God, thank you. Gave him a hug, told him how much I loved him. But, you know, he was thinking of me. He took a second to not think of himself and to think of me. And I think that that is a natural change and a natural progression in life. I think we slowly start to consider others. You know, I just think that some of us don't balance it out that well, you know, and I was one of them. It was all about me. And I, you know, I've always told my dad, and I've said it before, you know, people like that usually get away with that because they have some sort of audience, some sort of group or a person that will listen. And this, you know, the Dakota Myers, he talked about, you know, one of his big challenges was is that he was always coddled, you know, because he was in the military and, you know, he'd been through it, and, you know, and of course you should feel bad. And of course your life should be tough because look what you've gone through. And these were, this is how he put it. And not, I'm not, this isn't my take. This is what I got from his story is that he was always surrounded by people that coddled him. And when you're coddled and the hair is brushed out of your eyes because life is too tough, you become a victim, right? You know, it's like, look how bad I'm doing from this. Look how much that, look how much anxiety and problems that has caused me. And, you know, I was talking to somebody this morning and, you know, my buddy Matt was always great. You know, he was always talking about being a victim. You know, as long as you're a victim, you never get better. And I think just trying to identify what that actually means, being a victim, you know, because I always think of a victim as somebody that's like, you know, someone steals their purse or someone steals your wallet or somebody, you know, does something to you and you are a victim. And what I learned is that I can be an absolute victim and nobody has to do anything to me, right? Because, you know, it's a great example. And what I was, and I, like I was about to say, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine this morning about that. And it's like, until I can be accountable, until I can raise up my hand and say, yep, that was my fault. Or until I can say, you know, stop coddling me, you know, let me, and that just doesn't ever happen. I think there's, you know, there's other programs for the coddlers as well, but you know, until I can, you know, take responsibility, become accountable, determine the role that I played in this issue that is making me believe I'm a victim, I'll never get better, you know. And it does, it's, I look back and it's, I'm disgusted by myself, how I used to be and what I put my parents through. And you know, I was telling my dad last night, you know, I feel, because we always bring up the past. My dad always brings it up. And I said to him, I go, maybe we, there's some stuff back from the past that is still unsettled with you. Maybe there's, you know, because I felt like I've made amends. I told him last night, you know, I try to continue to make a living amends and just try to be there for him as his, in his older age. I would hate to, for him to be old and be worried that we can't take care of him if times got tough. You know, I want him to have, you know, a peace and comfort knowing that, you know, he does pretty well right now. But if, you know, eventually, obviously time continues to march. And one day his life will start to get a little tougher. And I want him to know that I will be there. Sort of a living amends because, and like I told him the other night, I'm done with the past. I've made my amends. I've worked on it. I've addressed it. I've, you know, taken accountability in the part that I played and I moved on. I'm no longer a victim of those days. And, you know, but for some reason he still, he loves to bring it up and talk about it. And I said, you know, like I said, maybe that we still need to clean some stuff up from the past. And he goes, no, we don't. We're good. And I go, well, you know, as long as we talk about it and still, you know, recount it and make it a, give it a spot, I'm still a victim of it, or he's still a victim of it, and I don't want him to be. But it's interesting because, you know, like my father, who doesn't have any issues like that, he doesn't really have any he doesn't have any understanding of what a victim is. He doesn't know what self-centered is. He doesn't know what a deficiency in humility is. He doesn't know what self-centered asshole is. And these are all things that I use to describe myself, you know? His life's been pretty simple, I think. Excuse me. So I guess just the accountability, and I think that, you know, and that, and I had to say, you know, I was a self-centered asshole. But, you know, there was also this part where he, you know, and I, as a parent, I know it's tough, and I don't want to blame him, right? I don't want to say, well, because you did this or you allowed this, it allowed me to continue doing that for a lot longer. I mean, it's not his fault, because as a parent, you're trying to do the best you can. You know, it's hard to, because, if I, you know, I said, listen, if your kids are using or not following the rules, throw them out. I mean, at 18, of course. You know, that's tough love, right? You know what? You don't want to follow these rules. I am not going to be the audience. And, you know, eventually you have to throw them out. I think the it is an interesting moment when you start to realize the difference between self and humility. Big change in my life. And it is interesting when I start to hear people that start to recognize it and start to recognize that it's really not about drinking. It's really not about drugging. It's that we're self-centered. Self-centered people. You know, addiction is a great word, but the real words should be self-centered. You choose, we choose, I choose what I want, when I want, regardless. You know, and it doesn't always start off like that. You know, in the end, it was like, God, if I drink, I'm going to disappoint many people, and I'm going to really put a lot of my job and my world into jeopardy. But when I first had when I first started drinking early, there was no real, you know, bad outcome from it. It was just, you know, what typical teenagers did. We drank. But eventually, over the years, the people fall off and the habits begin, and then we start to settle in, or I started to settle in with this disease of me, myself, and I. You know, because I just could not stop, and I drank, and I drank, and, you know, normal drinkers fell away, and the hardcore ones hung in there. But man, when that, in the end, I mean, so much was on the line to have one drink. And then when that finally happened, I had to figure out, because I, you know, my biggest problem, my biggest hurdle was me. I didn't even want to get sober. So when the programs didn't work and, you know, rehabs didn't work, you know, I was just, I would, poor me, I can't seem to get it together because obviously this program doesn't work and this rehab didn't work. I had to become accountable. And the first fact was I just didn't want to get sober. I just didn't want to get sober. You know, the first, you know, one of my first moments I thought of being a victim is when, you know, it was a relationship with a higher power. You know, my relationship with the higher power was very, it was created in a weird way. Going to church, looking at other people, wanting to be kind of a part of, and, you know, and praying. And I don't know if prayer wasn't explained to me correctly. And maybe it was. I just didn't care. Maybe I didn't care until I needed to. Maybe I didn't care until I needed to actually have a relationship with a higher power. But I thought, you know, my relationship with God or Jesus was to get things. And when I didn't get them, well, I was a victim. I can't believe God. You know, my relationship with prayer now is so different. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm just turning this over to you. I don't ask for anything. I don't even care if people know that my prayer. It's not even a prayer. It's just a moment where I need to remind myself that I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. I need to say it out loud. I need to give up the ghost. I need to you know, make it known that I can't handle this. And I need help. If you live in a life that's just all self, you're always living a life of not getting what you want. A life of self is a life of disappointment because self wants everything. You can't have everything. So you're constantly being disappointed. Constantly being disappointed. And that's, you know, that's no fun. You know, if you're helping out, giving back, you know, inconveniencing yourself, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you live a life where all you expect is people to do things for you and things to go your way and things to come your way, it just doesn't happen. And that's how I was. But at this point, I'd already given up on a relationship with God because God wasn't giving me anything early and he wasn't going to give me anything later. Because I was asking for the wrong thing. What I needed to ask for was, you know, or at least recognize out loud, is that my life is full of me. And until I start to recognize that, I'm just going to be disappointed. So when I started to finally figure this all out and start to recognize that, you know, if I could just find some humility, I could find some peace. But I still, you know, I still get caught. I mean, it's, I don't know if it's even possible to live a life without self in it. You know, this morning I had to take the kids. Let's go. You know, we're running late. You know, I got to get to this parking. You know, I got to get to the school because I like to park at a certain place. And that only happens when we leave at a certain time. And when this doesn't happen, now things, I'm going to lose that spot. It's going to take me longer to get to work. There's a whole lot of self going on there. But I still have to run my day, right? I still have a schedule. You know, I think the important part is to recognize that when I get a little caught up in that, because listen, when my kids are running late, the school drop off doesn't go as well, the traffic is heavier than usual, I can have a pretty fucked up day. And really what it is I'm having basically a tantrum all day. And you do that every day during your addiction, you pretty much are pretty miserable. You're pretty fucking toxic. So what I love about being a part of a program that allows us to learn about that kind of stuff, I can stop and I can say, all right, listen, the day hasn't been going well for you today, but let's just understand what your problem is, because it's not that there's a fucking great cloud over you. It's just sometimes shit doesn't happen and it doesn't work out. So, you know, the traffic was bad, so you're behind. Recognize it. Take a break. Sometimes, you know, just the fact that all this shit isn't going my way is an opportunity for me to say, dear God, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. My shoulders aren't big enough for all this inconvenience, and I'm turning it over to you. there, I admitted it. I just became accountable for the problems of my day. And when it talks about, you know, a relationship with a higher power, that is it. That's my relationship. You know, it's not like a relationship with my father when shit goes wrong. I call him, hey, I need help, or hey, you know, this is this, or hey, how can we fix this? That's not it. You know, I don't call my dad and say, hey, Dad, you know, life is just too tough and my shoulders aren't big enough and I'm just telling you. Because then his self would be like, all right, well, let me try to fix it. The nice thing about a relationship with a higher power is that I can say it out loud. I can recognize where I've made the mistakes. And then I can just let it go. It's like putting a fucking note in a bottle and throwing it into the ocean. I don't say, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. Can you make my shoulders big enough so I can handle this? Can you make all this stuff go away so my life gets better? No. Disappointment will follow. And that would be saying that, hey, self is what's important and somebody needs to fix the things that so self is happy. That's not a relationship, at least not for me. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Sometimes it's, dear Lord, I didn't go to enough education. I didn't get enough education. I'm recognizing that and I'm turning it over to you. Or, dear Lord, you know, that was something I was thinking about. You know, I was watching something and at some point I just realized last night, like, I think I'm just an average person, right? I don't excel, right, in anything. You know, I work hard, I show up, you know, but I tend to be about an 80%er. I like to get to a certain point and then I kind of, you know, lose interest or, you know, sometimes a lot of ideas that I have are built on these big elaborate dreams, you know, of success and money and fame and, you know, you get into it and you realize, that isn't definitely going to happen. And how much do I really want to work at this? And a lot of times I pull out, you know, I'm like, I don't want to do all that hard work. But, you know, there was a time where I used to think that I just couldn't get anything done. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't lucky enough. You know, you see people, you know, killing it and you're like, lucky bastards. And in my mind, I just wasn't lucky enough, so I was a victim of that. And I had to realize, you're just an average person. You're just not that guy that, you know, excels above the rest. You know, you look at, you know, my son's track team, you know, you got the people that are just killing it. And then you got, you know, the average people. I'm one of those people, the average. But I had a big resentment because I wanted to be more, but the reality was that we were what we were. So self was disappointed and a victim. And I had to finally be like, listen, man, this is what you are. You're not that guy, you know? And, you know, I had to finally start doing that. And then I could stop being a victim of lack of my own success. All right, let's see if I can read something and get out of here and move along and try to get back into doing this podcast. I do really enjoy. I enjoy sitting down and just kind of debriefing my life a little bit for my own self. You know, I've had people that are telling me that they're listening to this podcast. They're like, I was telling someone this morning, I'm going to go try to do a podcast. Oh, good. Great. I was like, oh gosh, this is like a responsibility, but it helps me. It helps me. And, you know, however much time you have, you know, we start the day off all equal, right? We all start off with the same amount of time. I could have years of sobriety, years of recovery, and still be a self-centered asshole. And really, like this morning, I was a little bit like that. You know, my wife and I juggled two careers and three kids. And, you know, there's just times where, you know, I have to take the kids all week. And then my wife picks them up. But, you know, this morning I was like, I feel like I'm taking them all the time, right? I just all of a sudden became this victim. You know, look at me. I'm the one that's having to take them. You know, my wife probably could, but, you know, she's maneuvered her way out of it. And I am now stuck with this fucking problem. And then I had to remind myself, hey, you know, because of your wife, we were able to have a nice, you know, lifestyle. you know, because we put our, you know, our money together. And I shouldn't say a nice lifestyle. We can, you know, provide a place for our kids to live and feed them. It's not, we are not doing any vacations. But, you know, it takes a team. And we're a team. And I started to forget that. And I started to feel like an individual. And then I started to get victim-y. And I started to feel like I was doing all the work. And I had to remind myself, you're not. You know, sometimes we do work when others aren't looking. And but I tell you what, our machine rolls along and we seem to survive. So, but the point was is that, you know, even after years of recovery, I can still wake up and be, you know, flirting with having a pretty shitty day. And in the past, I've done that. I've gone down that rabbit hole and had a miserable day and then had an argument about it. And where today I said, listen, let's think about this a second. What's going on? What's your problem, right? And thought about it, turned it over, said a little prayer, and moved on, and I'm over it. I'm done with that. And that's nice. All right, so let's read this. Weeding the garden. The essence of all growth is a willingness to make a change for the better and then unremitting willingness to shoulder whatever responsibility this entails. As Bill sees it, page 115. By the time I reached step 3, I had been freed of my dependence on alcohol, but bitter experience has shown me that continuous sobriety requires continuous effort. Every now and then, I pause to take a good look at my progress. More and more of my garden is weeded each time I look, but each time I also find new weeds sprouting where I thought I had made my final pass with the blade. As I head back to get the newly sprouted weeds, it's easier when they are young. I take a moment to admire how lush the growing vegetables and flowers are, and my labors are rewarded. My sobriety grows and bears fruit. That's a great message right there. And I feel like that's just sort of what I was just trying to explain. They explained it much better. But, you know, this morning a little weed popped up. Self wasn't getting his way, and it started to grow. And you know, I was able to see it, recognize it early, identify what the weed was, and get rid of it. You know, where in the past that weed would have grown, and I would have had a resentment towards my wife, maybe even a resentment towards my kids, I'm not sure, and then had a pity party all day. And that weed would have grown and grown and grown, and it wouldn't have done anybody any good. So anyway, I hope everybody has a great day. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll catch you later. Bye.
The roles that they designed us. She does nothing to conceal it. her 'cause he wants to feel it. We blame her